We all want to eat healthy, but have you ever read the ingredients list off of your favorite snack? Between the hard-to-pronounce ingredients and man-made additives, it's difficult to find anything made from real, natural ingredients. Even some of my favorite organic snacks have ingredients I haven't heard of. At Balance of Nature, we know the value of real nutrition that can only be found in real food. That's why the only things you'll find on our ingredients list are real whole fruits and vegetables. No additives, fillers, or artificial ingredients of any kind. Balance of Nature is the best whole fruit and vegetable product on the market, delivering your body everything it needs to function at its very best. Eat better and feel better. Start your journey to better health. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com to get free shipping. And don't forget to get 35% off your first preferred order by using discount code KATE.
Hey, everyone. There is a spray, a zeolite spray, on the homepage of katedalyradio.com. Right now, you can grab this spray for only $5. It's a huge, big deal because they don't usually give it away for this, but they want you to try it. And this is an effective cellular cleanse. And it has a unique activated hydrated zeolite cellular level cleanse. All you do is spray it in your mouth. You can't taste it. And each day, and you'll get rid of the toxins in your body. You'll get rid of all those things like mercury and lead and arsenic and all the things that come through our food and environment and everything else. This is an advanced cellular cleanse. And my daughters actually turned me on to this. They were giving it to their kids too, and the kids were feeling better. Skin things were clearing up. All kinds of things were happening. People even give this for autism and having amazing results. Has no taste and it's 100% natural. You'll love this product. It's called Pure Body from Touchstone. Even Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, huge proponent of this spray as well. So go get it. Thanks, you guys.
Over here at the Kate Daly Show, we start out each day just dripping in heaps of white privilege, or as we like to call it, going to work. The show starts now.
As I speak,
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creeds. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
I'm going to ask the white Americans in the room to please repeat after me. On behalf of myself and on behalf of my country, to you and all African Americans, from the beginning of our nation's history, in honor of your ancestors and on behalf of your children, please hear this from my heart. I apologize. Please forgive us. With this prayer, I acknowledge the depth of the evils that have been perpetrated against Black people in America.
I don't think that's what Martin Luther King had in mind with Marianne Williamson, who ran for president, offering the racism prayers wherever she went. I'm pretty sure that Martin Luther King wanted the inequality that was mostly happening in the South to end, right? And that it would be over. And that you wouldn't see the color of the skin anymore. But people like Marianne Williamson and Jesse and all the rest out there grandstanding today, the whole Biden administration on the Martin Luther King issue and day, is so interesting to me how they want to see everything by color. They live for it. Yep. And they want to strengthen this like they would anything else, and have it become the issue of the day when it could have been put to rest a long time ago. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. Hi, Uncle Milty.
Hi.
And hi, Dr. Duke Pesta. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you both?
I'm well. I was just listening to Marianne Williamson, that total hideous version of, I don't even know what to call her anymore, doing the racism prayer. I'm pretty sure that's not what Martin Luther King really was actually all about. I think he wanted to stop seeing color in the skin. What are your thoughts on that today?
Yeah, this is the biggest scam in all of progressivism. You know, we achieved our goal. We got to the point where we were becoming much more colorblind. I mean, the problem with America today has nothing to do with race. In fact, if anything, you have a white majority who have surrendered to the idea that the only way we're going to help black people and some other kinds of minorities is to go out of our way to give them privileges and opportunities that nobody else has. I mean, we as a society have become okay with that, right? We're now building campus buildings on universities that are just for minorities. We're now having graduations at high schools and colleges based on race. Mm-hmm. We're now giving out tons of government money based on your skin color. We have come, the last thing America is a country concerned with race. And because once we got there and no longer needed the activism of Democrats, the paternalistic plantation mindset of Democrats, notice what's happened. They've flipped the game on us now, right?
Right.
Now, that's not good enough. Now you have to see race in everything. And the only way you're a good lefty who sees race in everything is if you condemn your own skin color and culture. And that's where we are now. The only way you can possibly be acceptable if you're white is if you absolutely hate yourself, number one.
Right.
And number two, if you're willing to pander aggressively that every aspect of your culture, including us being the only culture that really ever formally got rid of slavery, ever really fought a war to get rid of it. We are the culture, white America, that brought more people to this country in the last 150 years as immigrants than any country in the history of the world. None of that was good enough. So we're going to tear down the system that gave us that and adopt socialist models, which are all based on racial supremacy, and think that we've called it a day.
Amen. I swear I've seen more grandstanding today over this topic for attention, and they will not let this go. It is the gift that keeps on giving. We're not allowed to forget. In fact, it's on steroids now. And will it ever come to an end, or will this just continuously be trying to tell us what racist pigs and thugs we all are if we're white? I mean, will it ever end?
It cannot end. In fact, it cannot end, because there will never be reparations. There will never be enough transfers.
Right.
But what's the thing? Here's how it ends. Here is how it ends. It ends with another genocide. It maybe, I don't know how far we are away from it, but if you're going to go around teaching generations of young children that everything evil in the world is white, that whiteness doesn't exist. On the one hand, whiteness is responsible for all the evils of the world. On the other hand, whiteness doesn't exist. On the one hand, whiteness kills. On the other hand, whiteness it's not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to keep attributing to all the evils of the world whiteness, at the same time denying it even existence, there's no way that ends out without some kind of a radical persecution. We're at this point now. If we are as guilty as we pretend we are, white people, and if we are as bad as left-wing ideologues say, then why shouldn't you kill us or imprison us or take our property?
Right. No, you're right. It never ceases to amaze me. You know, we have Juneteenth coming up. We have this crazy over this day. It's amazing because Martin Luther King actually stood for, looking back at his speeches, he just wanted it to end. He wanted the South to finally have the things that they were doing, the lunch counter thing, everything that they were doing. And it really goes back to where we're at again with COVID too, because what did they do? Blacks were dirty, right? And so they had to split up the lunch counter, couldn't use the same utensils, couldn't use the same plates, because somehow they were inferior but dirty. Same thing with the Jews, inferior and dirty, full of disease. And now what are we doing with COVID? Unclean and dirty. We're the ones that are making all of it happen, even though vaxxed people get shot up and they're getting COVID symptoms, right? Flu and cold. It's really amazing how we're right back to the same narrative. But now we have two going on, right? But now it's the white people. If you're white, you're the mean guy. And if you're unvaccinated, you're the dirty guy. To be white and unvaccinated in this country, my gosh, you cannot win anything in this country.
Vaccinated or not vaccinated, the message from the left, particularly the radical minority left, is that white people are dirty and diseased regardless.
Yeah, you're
and
right.
What, the whole rationale for building separate living quarters for blacks and minorities in college campuses is to ask a young black kid to have to room with a white kid or even co-associate with one on the same dorm floor or to have to see a white person in your bathroom is a kind of an assault on you. That's what they actually believe. You're assaulting black people by having white people live alongside them.
Yeah. And in every article today on this, go right back, like we said last 2 weeks, go right back to the first paragraph. Every news article makes an assumption as a fact, tries to pretend it's a fact, in the very first article of every news. And any news on Martin Luther King Day will be the fact, or not the fact, but the assumption, that we are a racist country, or it's a racist school, or whatever group you're talking about, that they're absolutely racist. And then the rest of the article is built on that assumption. It's not a fact, but they will completely assume every 5 minutes that this is the case in America. Uncle Milty?
You know, for those of you out there that think the problems with the Supreme Court are recent, this goes all the way back to a man named Alan Backe in the early 1970s, mm-hmm. who was denied entrance to medical school because of his race. He was one of the first people to use the term reverse racism. Mm. The regents of the University of California were sued by Backe, and the Supreme Court of the United States upheld affirmative action by allowing race to be one of several factors in college admission.
Interesting.
So the Supreme Court did it.
Yes, they did. Like they gave us Roe versus Wade and a bunch of other stupid things.
Yeah.
And you know, all you need to look is this weekend. So on the one hand, we've got Joe Biden, who had no problem calling Kyle Rittenhouse a white supremacist, even though he didn't wound or shoot a single black person, right?
Right.
And to this day, Biden has not apologized and insists, as does the left, that Kyle Rittenhouse is somehow a white supremacist without a shred of evidence. Meanwhile, you have a radicalized Muslim cleric come to this country, hold a bunch of Jews hostage on the Sabbath, and the FBI can't even argue what they think the motive is, right?
Right. No, you're right.
And this radicalized Islam, Muslim, he's demanding the freedom of another Muslim activist and terrorist who is in prison. And yet the FBI's position is we can't figure out what the motive is. So Kyle Rittenhouse, because white and 17, he must be by definition a white supremacist, a Islamic mad lunatic taking Jews hostage on the Sabbath. We dare not even pretend what the motive is for that.
Right. And remember, 2 years ago, the fraudulent Biden administration and everybody under that umbrella was kneeling. Remember, 6 feet apart with masks on? Kneeling. For a guy who spent his time in prison for violence and then I think was actually working as a informant. But for the George Floyd thing, that was March of 2020. And you know what? So much changed because the media utilized that account for the very visual, we're going to kneel now for the black man. We apologize for everything. Nobody talked about his violent past in prison. Nobody talked about the fact that he was friends with the very guy kneeling on his neck. But the fact that we as white people always have to kneel in forgiveness. When do we ever get to a point where we don't have to do that anymore? There is no line in sight. Ever.
The perverse lie is that white culture was set up to keep all other races on their knees. And again, how do you make, if that's true, why did white people for 150 years allow people come here from all over the world as different races? I mean, if we really were a systemic racist right. country, when we controlled it all, we could have just shut the borders off. We never did it.
Yeah. We would have never had black women multimillionaires in the late 1800s, would we have? We would have never had slave owners that were actually black, too. People always forget our history. No one ever wants to remember the correct history that we have in this country.
Not only that, but there was a movement to send the blacks back to Africa after the end of slavery. We didn't do that either.
Well, that's really fascinating because some of them went back to, what was the name of that country that was set up? Monrovia. What was the name of that town? Liberty? You're talking about, it just popped into my head.
Yes.
Anyway, there was a town in Africa that was named after one of the founding fathers where a lot of blacks were sent back. And guess what happened? After two generations, the town turned on them and enslaved those blacks over in Africa.
Oh, we'll be right back. Kate Daly Show. Hi, everybody. Go to the bottom of my homepage. You're going to see an ad for Z-Stack, Dr. Zelenko's new vitamin supplement that combines zinc, quercetin, vitamin C, and vitamin D. All of those things that we talk about on the show, he has combined them into one supplement. Dr. Zelenko is a board-certified physician in New York. He was the one that gave ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine to Trump and told him about that, and he was really the guy that started the frontline doctors. Dr. Zelenko formulated the Support Your Immune Function supplement. Zinc, quercetin, vitamin C, and vitamin D. Take this every day. This is a great combination of a supplement that you can take of all the things we talk about on the show. This is an amazing product to keep you well, and make sure that you go get this. This is also manufactured in the USA. Head and order this. Go to the bottom of my homepage at katedalyradio.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I'm coming to you with one of the most important commercials that I've ever done. All of you know what MyPillow and myself have gone through in the last 8 months in my efforts to bring the truth forward. Well, now you can help in a couple ways. First, get everyone you know to go to my new media platform, frankspeech.com. There you'll find all the footage from my cyber symposium and many other important broadcasts. Also, I am personally doing a new daily live show to get the truth out. It's at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday. Secondly, I'm offering some of the best prices ever on MyPillow products, but they're only available on frankspeech.com. Go to frankspeech.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive these exclusive MyPillow offers. Thank you and God bless.
Make sure and put the code word Kate, K-A-T-E. This will get you up to 66% savings at MyPillow.com. The code word Kate, my first name, K-A-T-E. Help support Mike, help support this show, and help support yourself in getting some amazing, amazing products. These are the best ones I've ever owned. Go to MyPillow.com, code word Kate.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Ebony and ivory live together in perfect side by side.
Stevie, hold on, Stevie. Now, something tells me that this is more than a song about playing the piano.
Frank, it's about racial equality and unity of all people.
Well, I don't understand. When I think Ebony, I think of a magazine that most people do not buy. And when I think of ivory, I think of a soap that floats.
Ebony and ivory are the black and white keys on the piano, Frank.
Stevie, I know that. You know that. But it's too artsy for the public, kabish? Now, I talked to the master, Sammy Kahn, and Sammy is a marvelous, marvelous songwriter. No offense, Steve. And Sammy thinks we should go with something like chocolate and vanilla. Or how about this? Life is an Eskimo pie. Why don't we take a bite?
Yeah. I'm afraid that might be a bit offensive to some people.
Hey, who cares what the Eskimos think? They don't buy records, huh?
That is from Saturday Night Live years and years and years ago with Eddie Murphy as Stevie Wonder and Joe Piscopo as Frank Sinatra. Welcome back to the Kate Daly Show. I have the very talented Uncle Melty and the very talented Dr. Duke Pesta. And Dr. Duke has a wonderful show, Dr. Duke Show, which you've got to check out. You can actually watch him on camera live. And if you're curious, who is that person behind that voice, you can actually catch him live right on my Facebook page, Kate Daly Show, The Kate Daly Show on Facebook. And it's on every day when the show ends. So make sure and make your way over there and watch him. But also, I just wanted to mention MyPillow. MyPillow.com. What a great company they are. Can I just tell you, they are doing things that no one else is doing, and they have products no one else has. Go to MyPillow.com, get the best sheets, reward yourself with something really luxurious and wonderful, and get it for such a great price right now, up to 70% off. Go to MyPillow.com and put in the code Kate, K-A-T-E, and you're going to get up to 70% off. Do you guys realize what savings that is? And they're going to get it to you fast. And get a new mattress topper. One of a very, very famous author just reached out to me and said, what was your code again? Because I am just about to switch all my mattress toppers, all my sheets, all my towels out, and I want to go get it from MyPillow. And so I just want you guys to know you're going to get fantastic products if you put in my name, and also you'll be helping this show. I have Uncle Milty and Dr. Duke Pesta here, and I was just laughing about Ebony and Ivory, because as much as they try to do to make us not racist, I don't really know of anyone who is racist. So on this Martin Luther King Day, you know, I mean, honestly, I don't know a single racist. Do you?
Well, that song is racist.
It really is, though.
Think about it. For every one black key, there are three white keys.
Am I right? No, that is true. That is true. And you know, the percentage has never changed in the United States. It's always about 13% black. Isn't that funny? For the last 250 years, 13%. And what is amazing, too, is when I tell people, because we were never taught this in school, and when I go to speak at schools, this is one of the things I bring up when we talk about this topic, is the fact that the first black man who got his servitude done with, right, and then became a black slave owner, Anthony Johnson, he became a black slave owner, and he went to the court in Pennsylvania, and he lobbied to get the slave, his black slave, this is a black owner, forever, in perpetuity, to never end, for his entire life. Up until that point, servitude was something that 8 to 10 years of, you could actually get out of. You could actually walk away, and you would earn your servitude. And I'm not saying servitude was good. I'm just saying that that was kind of the law of the land at that point. And
well, there was a limit on it.
Yes, there was a limit on it. And then he lobbied, a black man with a black slave, lobbied the court to say, no, I want it for life. I want this man for life. And the court said yes.
Yeah,
Uncle Milty?
His name was John Kasor.
Oh, John Kasor. That's right.
That was
the man who was declared
a slave for life.
Right, John Kasor, yep, that was him. And this is in the 1600s, and he went to the Pennsylvania court and had them rule in his favor. They ruled in his favor, I should say. And that's when it started, slave for life. And so we actually ended slavery that had been going on around the globe for centuries. For centuries, it took America only 80 years from the start of this country to 80 years later ending it. And it wasn't because of Harriet Tubman. It was because of white Quakers that stepped in to make sure that the Underground Railroad was established, because the slaves at the time could have never done that. It was full congregations of white Quakers that made it happen. People don't realize that. So...
People don't realize a lot of the history of this country. I've gone into this in my classrooms with my students. You know, people think that, and when you listen to these activists, you would think that the entire country had slaves, that every household, it's less than 7%. I'm more like closer to 5% of American houses only ever held slaves.
Yes.
I mean, 95% of American families down through the ages never did. So how can you call this a systematically racist country? Or the idea that 5% slaves on 5% of the family land in this country built this whole country?
Well,
it's not logistically possible.
No, and during that whole time, the accumulation of that number was 300,000 families over the whole course of that time. Mm-hmm. Over the whole course of that time, 300,000 families, that was it.
That's because there weren't 330 million people in America then.
right. And so they couldn't, but they have to convict the entire country for it. Just like in the South. In the South is where you saw the prevalence of the lunch counter and all of those measures. That was not happening all over the country.
Nope.
No, and it didn't happen all 60s. Over the South.
Yeah,
the idea that this
40s.
Was unchallenged in the South is a lie. And my big one, I tell my students, I ask them the question, in 1776, when America finally became a country, what percentage mm-hmm. of the world's population lived under some kind of slavery?
Right.
And it's 85%. I mean, we became a nation with slaves. At a very small number, relatively, mm-hmm. but we came a nation with slaves, formally, in a world where 85% of the world's population endured some kind of slavery, indentured or otherwise.
No, it's the truth. And by the way, Anthony Johnson was the slave and John Kasor was his owner. I just want to make sure people realize that when we were talking about that.
If you really want to see some good examples or hear some good examples of Southern racism, all you mm-hmm. have to do is listen to the great emancipator Strom Thurmond's speeches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I've written pieces for local papers on the whole John Kasor thing, on Anthony Johnson, on making sure people realize that there is another whole side of the story that they're not told. Going back in history, we're never taught this in school. And I've been rejected every time. Isn't that amazing? Oh, by the way, yeah. To me, that's truly amazing because I look at what they love to do in editorials and in opinion pieces is to only be on the one side, but they don't ever allow the other side in the same darn opinion pieces. But that's due to editors who are very liberal and only want one side of the story told. It's really sad.
Well, how about this last weekend, the weekend before this one, where Biden came out and said that if you oppose his give the vote to the feds, override our voting mm-hmm. rules, if you don't agree with that, then you are Bull Connor, you are mm-hmm. he's naming all these evil Democrats. And that's it. The point was everyone he named was a Democrat. I mean, they're completely lost on these idiots, all these evil men. Right, mm-hmm. Jefferson Davis, you're on the side of, they're all Democrats, for God's sake.
I know. And the longest filibuster was what, Uncle Milty?
The longest filibuster was Strom Thurmond in 1964. It lasted 60 days, and he was fighting against the Civil Rights Act.
He was opposing the Civil Rights Act. But you know what? Don't talk about that history. Just go back and apologize to 160 years ago and be forever apologetic and pay off people who had nothing to do with it, rather than accept that you were on the wrong side of history, you know, all of those decades. It's really amazing, that party.
Can I make a really politically unpopular
Please.
Statement?
Please. I love
what
unpopular.
At what point have the tide turned and we've reached a culture in this America, at least going on 40, 50 years now, mm-hmm. where the amount of black on white violence has gotten so big and so dangerous culturally that they owe us reparations? With the looting, the rioting, all of the violence that we have seen, I mean, there's way more black on white violence in this country than there is white on black.
In fact,
have we not reached the point mm-hmm. where the reparations clock has swung back the other way?
It's the truth. In fact, in 2019, 13 black men were shot by police. 24 white men were also shot by police. Nobody ever talks about it. Go ahead.
But when you talk about that kind of thing, what we're told now is that the term racism only applies to how blacks are treated.
Right.
Why is that, though? Yeah, I know we're told that, but what's the logic for it?
None.
If I said to you that a burglary or adultery mm-hmm. or kindness only belong to white people, you'd laugh me out of the room.
Exactly.
Of course.
Yeah. And really, racism is you know, the judgment by color. And it is interesting that it can never be any other color than black. That's the only...
Well,
it's an interchangeable term now.
It's actually not a judgment of color. It's a judgment of race.
Yeah, of race. Yeah, you're exactly right. And I do want people to know this, because right now on Netflix, if you go onto Netflix or one of your movie server uppers today, you'll see that they are going to be heralding the black voices and the black stories. And the top one will be Harriet Tubman. Harriet Tubman did not come along until 50 years after the Underground Railroad had begun, and the railroad movement was actually initiated by white Quakers who had the resources to do it, and the congregations of Quakers who designed the railroad terms and locations, along with just a few freed slaves from the North. And they risked it all and did it all in secret. And do you guys realize some of the penalties they were facing? All those congregations had to go all in. They were all in, every single one of them that were designing the Underground Railroad. knew that they had to make that a secret pact so it couldn't be found out. Harriet Tubman joined at the very, very tail end of the movement that went on for 80 years, and she only really freed around 50 of her family members. They were family members. They were not just, she was not out there just batting away for anybody, right? But nobody will talk about that, because if you talk about that, then somehow Harriet Tubman isn't the hero. Well, she really wasn't the hero of the story. She took advantage of the story, and she actually went in and she freed some family members. That was about it. The Quakers were the heroes of that story. You will never hear that in a history book in America. And isn't that sad? Because they risked their lives to do it.
Well, let me double down on politically incorrect. Okay. It's not just the individual stories of African-American heroes of slavery that have to be magnified. It's not just that. Mm-hmm. Take a look at the cultures we're dealing with, Native American culture. Take a look at African cultures. The one thing they have in common is that they were not builders. They were nomadic. They didn't have written languages. They did not create great cities or commerce or wealth. They did not produce remarkable art or culture. That, you know, you have thousands of years of Native American history where nothing changes. And so when you go back now and you look at these pre-modern cultures, right, you've got to pretend that all of that nothing is the same thing about the same as what other great cultures were building all around the world,
that
right? What
so
the
true.
Chinese were doing, what the Europeans were doing,
right.
Real progress versus we got to pretend like all those primitive cultures that never really moved beyond hunting and gathering, that they have the same cultural history as real great nations. They just don't, period.
That is so true. And by the way, once the ink was dry on the Constitution, the language of the Constitution served up to get the momentum going. About 10 years after, they really did start in to make sure that the Underground Railroad was actually started, about 10 years, almost to the very, very end of the 1700s. And then, of course, all of the 1800s. But people don't realize that. There had to be an instigator to set the ball in motion, and it was the signing of the Constitution of the United States of America, which then went into all the other countries, and they stopped doing it once America. Hi, this is Kate, and I just wanted to let you know about a new product that I fell in love with, and I want you to have it too, and you can get a special deal on it right now. It's a wonderful sanitizer that really cleans, hospital grade. They use electricity to do it, and it's really natural, and it's not sticky. It doesn't have alcohol in it. It's just an amazing new product, and it's concentrated, so you actually get tons of bottles of it for a really low price, and it stores well for prepping. So I would highly recommend this, and get it while you can. Instead of $250, you can grab it for $44. This is at the bottom of my homepage. You can find the little ad on the bottom of my homepage, katedallyradio.com. Click on it. You'll love this product.
We need a new kind of clean. To do that, Clean Start combines two of nature's most powerful forces, water and electricity, to produce electrolyzed water, or HOCl. HOCl is your body's first internal response after an infection or trauma. In fact, it's significantly more effective at killing bacteria, viruses, mold and mildew than bleach or other household cleaners. Clean Start's globally patented tablet-based hand sanitizer turns any quart of tap water into FDA-approved, alcohol-free hand sanitizer and registered wound care solution to a new kind of clean. Clean Start.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Welcome back. I know you're singing the words come together in your head, aren't you? Great song. Weird to understand, but great song. Anyway, welcome back, and make sure you get balanceofnature.com. What a great supplement this is. And I have so many friends and family now on Balance of Nature. I cannot even tell you how many people are taking Balance of Nature now. It is insane. And my friends that have taken it for 20 years, 10 years, they're never sick. They are just never sick because their nutrients are always up. The only reason you can get sick is if you are depleted of vitamin C and D3 and zinc in your system. And what causes the lack of taste and smell? Zinc. Your level is too low. And so people don't realize that. They go, it's a COVID symptom. No, it's not. It's a symptom of low zinc. So by all means, go in and get Balance of Nature. It has all those things, daily 31 fruits and vegetables. And then when you take it, you're going to get a clear sense of energy. And it is an amazing supplement for that. You're going to feel it. And now my family members and friends won't go without it. I'm being completely honest here. They will not go without it. My own daughter comes and gets it from me when she flies here and then flies back home. She makes sure she has it in her suitcase. So please go get balanceofnature.com, put in the code Kate, K-A-T-E, and you will get 35% off, a whole third wiped off. And then you'll also get free shipping. And they'll ship it out to you within 24 hours. It's on its way into your home so you can start taking it. This is a product I believe in, and you absolutely need to take it. I've got Uncle Milty. I've got Dr. Duke Pesta from the Dr. Duke Show. Always grateful for him and his voice. He's one of the only conservative college professors in the country. He's one of the only speaking out, and he has a wonderful show that you must catch everywhere. It's played everywhere. And the Dr. Duke Show brings up topics that are not talked about in the education system. And so I really love Dr. Pesta for his courage and in doing so. And because I know that whoever is in his class is a really lucky student, because they're going to get true history, which is totally amazing to me. Dr. Pesta, we were just talking on the break about all of this nonsense about the changing of history and the Indians, and no one ever asks, well, who did the Indians take the land from? If we were so hell-bent on murdering our way in here, pretty much battles, fierce battles, is how Europe decided where the lines were, how America decides where the lines are. This is nothing new, but when it comes to America, we are the same person that believes that blacks are, we're still a racist country, also believes that Christopher Columbus was the murdering thug, even though his journal talks all about God. He was the murdering thug that came in here, and we took it from the very simple, kind Indians, and we just took it from them. Do you want to clarify this abuse in our history learning system?
Well, I mean, how much time do you got? I could spend an hour on this.
I mean, sure.
You know, we're kind of debunking Martin Luther King Day and all the lies that have grown up in the wake of it. King was a great man, but let's not forget, I mean, in some ways, like Thomas Jefferson, he was way ahead of his time. His Christian notion of civil disobedience comes right from the Gospels. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt he was a devout man who loved the Lord, but also let's not forget that he was a plagiarist. He was a serial philanderer. Mm-hmm. And at the end of his life, he signed on to a communist movement that was already responsible for 100 million deaths. So,
yes.
I mean, it's more complicated.
His message was all about just don't see color anymore. Can we just move on? Can we just move into a place where we're not talking about it anymore, where this is not a subject, right, where we don't have rooms divided, right? And what do we do? We divide it even more.
But back to the Native Americans, I mean, let's just start, okay? Empire's bad. We understand this, right?
Uh-huh.
Empire and colonialism, these are the major charges against Western culture. I got three words for you: Aztec, Maya, and Inca, right?
Right.
For the love of God, you have 1,000 years of three of the most brutal empires in the history of the world. Certainly the Aztec, the Maya, and particularly the Inca were more moderate. But who do you think built their palaces? Who do you think built their elaborate multi-structured, layered buildings there? Who do you think put together the fundamental nature of their empire? Was slave labor.
Right.
I mean, the Aztecs in particular are right up there with the most brutal people in human history. Why did a team of about 2,500 Spaniards, conquistadors, conquer an empire of 250,000 people, right? We're talking exponential differences. 2,500 Spanish on horseback and 250,000 Aztec. Well, because all the tribes that surrounded the Aztecs fought with the Spanish. Why? For 1,000 years, those Indians had been conquered, had been tortured, had been imprisoned, had been dragged up to the top of the pyramids of the Aztec constructors, and had their hearts ripped out to the sun god, their bodies eaten as cannibalistic sacrifices, and their dead corpses rolled down the side of the building. This went on for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
And then let's talk about Native America. Who were the Iroquois? Who were the Mohawk? right? Who are the Apache? Who are these Indian tribes? What are they? What were they known for long before the first white man set foot on North America? The bloody and endless wars of rapine, which they unleashed on other Indians. It was Indian tribes that had a custom, many of them, when they took when they conquered other tribes, they murdered all the men and boys. They turned the women into prostitutes and cut off ears and noses of the prostitutes so you wouldn't confuse them with rightly racial Indians. Let me repeat. In the name of differentiating amongst Indian tribes and Indian racialism, you would cut the noses and the ears off the women you've taken prisoner so you would be no misunderstanding that they were not part of your tribe.
It's amazing, isn't it? I know. I'm LDS, right? Everybody knows that. And Latter-day Saint, and the Book of Mormon is actually about the Indians that were here. And what's amazing is people don't ever ask questions about them. They don't think anything except for what Louis the comedian puts out there as they were just sitting by streams and rivers and we came in murdering thugs. We, you know, the white man came in just to take it from them and never, ever alluding to the fact that things are done in battle all the time and have been for centuries. But I really do want people to realize that America sought to put an end to slavery, sought to put an end to that. And as soon as that ink was dry on that Constitution, as things rolled forward in America, Americans knew what this country was going to stand for. But it took some time. 80 years isn't a lot of time. But the way we talk about it now, it's as if those white men signed that Constitution and they wanted slavery. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. They wanted men to be equal, but it was going to take a little bit there, at least 80 years, to actually change hearts and minds from a practice that had been going on worldwide for centuries.
Well, what people don't talk about is the fact that if slavery was written out of the Constitution as the North wanted,
right,
then the Southern states wouldn't have signed on. They would have been a separate territory. And then you would have had a radically divided America, both in terms of land and in terms of population. How does that divided America fight off the British after the Civil War, after the Revolutionary War?
Right.
How do they maintain their freedom? They were not enough of them, and they were divided enough that they were up. You would never have had anything like the United States.
Right.
So a compromise was struck to keep the South in the constitutional process. So we had one nation. And when we finally got to the point when we had one, as you pointed out, immediately the Constitution itself, however the Founding Fathers failed to legislate the complete responsibility of the way the Constitution was written meant that sooner or later, by law, it would have to live up to what it said it did. And meanwhile, name one culture or one country outside of the West, Kate, Milty, name one where Aboriginal peoples have been given governments inside the other government. So we have given the Aboriginal Indians their own treaties and reservations. Mm-hmm. We've given them their own government. In Australia, Western culture, the Aborigines there have been made part of the government. Let's step out of that for a second. Tell me what's going on in China, South America, Russia. Name another culture in the history of the world outside of Western culture that actually didn't just destroy the Aborigines, but then brought them back and gave them citizenship. You can't name one.
True. You can't, because once they did that and they overran, they owned it. It was theirs, and they weren't even going to talk about who they just erased.
That's right.
Right? And so, but we do that over here, no credit whatsoever.
You know, the liberals love the liberal leftist, the liberals in this country love the left-wing Chinese.
Yeah.
And yet, who built the greatest wall in the history of the world? Who hates walls, right?
Right.
But yet they worship the Chinese who built the biggest wall in the history of the world to keep out other people. That's why China today is one of the least ethnically diverse countries in the history of the world.
You're right.
And the liberal left has no problem with it.
It's a great point.
And here I always thought they just built that wall for the tourists.
No, it's absolutely great. When I hear people on TV right now, and there are a lot in the new shows we're talking about, we'll talk about that. The fact that I get to hear these people say, especially a black woman, this is what I heard in one of the latest shows, was her say, "I'm so embarrassed to be an American for our history." And I'm thinking, honey, sister, you do not understand America because we were the ones that ended slavery for the entire world. And then once we did, everyone else in the world started ending it. We were the ones who ended it. And it only took us 80 years, sister. So you better start thanking us for it.
All of Africa has been open for recolonization of blacks, and nobody goes. Yeah. And there's a reason that for 120 years, any black in this country could settle pretty much anywhere in Africa, but they haven't.
Well,
and the reason is because they're still living in the 8th century over there. That's your problem. And if what you want is civilization, you want a culture. I love what Candace Owens said. Mm-hmm. In the history of the world, African Americans today in the United States, in the history of the world, have a higher life level of living, cost standard of living, than blacks anywhere in the history of the world before it. And that means every moment of African history, blacks are better over here than they were ever in Africa.
Well, that's why I laugh, because the woman in this show was a very, very rich psychologist who had gone to Yale. And she's sitting here saying that she's embarrassed to be an American. Honey, America is the only reason. You're rich, you went to Yale, and you're a psychologist sitting there in your office in your very expensive shoes telling everybody how much you hate this country. Isn't it quite ironic? And you were just watching Yellowstone. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I picked it up. My in-laws came for Christmas, and I had never seen it. They were watching it, so we kind of binge-watched it.
Uh-huh.
And there's a lot of consternation in Hollywood. The Hollywood magnates they don't understand how a show so white bread and so in some ways pro-American can be so popular. There's no gay characters, and I was watching it. There's a lot of PC garbage in Yellowstone.
Yeah.
The entire subtext with Monica, the Indian bride of Casey Dutton, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of that arc where, without a terminal degree, without a PhD, she gets hired to be a college professor at a major university. She's put in charge of teaching colonial American history to a bunch of undergraduates without any qualifications to do so other than her skin color. And she immediately starts blowing off the curriculum and using class time to take her students to modern Indian rap performances. I mean, that whole what it does is it shows you how really empty it is. All this, you should respect Native American culture just because, right?
Right.
And meanwhile, you got all these Indians rapping. Isn't that a cultural appropriation? Aren't all those Indians up there rapping at the concert? Didn't they rip that off from the black people? If it was a bunch of white people rapping, I'm pretty sure that Monica the Indian would have called it a cultural appropriation. And this is what her idea of Indian culture is.
Right.
Let's go to a rap contest featuring Indians. I mean, that tells you there's not a whole lot of there.
Yes, Uncle Milty.
I think people don't recognize it because the consciousness is black.
Yeah.
Not American natives, black.
Right. Yeah. It's just, it's sad because we're absorbing a lot of this in our favorite shows. 1883. This is the precursor to Yellowstone. It's a brand new series. And there's a lot of language in it. There's a fair warning for you. There's a lot of stuff in it. So if you're sensitive to that, I would not watch it. But 1883 has Sam Elliott and Tim McGraw, Faith Hill, and it's a story of them crossing the plains. Okay, I don't think they share enough of the joy that they had crossing the. But they concentrate on the hardship, and I get it. But it's a good show. It's just that you're going to get those sneaky little messages in there because they have to. It's almost like this. It's like Tourette's. It just comes out in these writers that have to put those messages in. Yep. Don't you think? I don't know.
I wouldn't call it joy. I think that what you want to say, Kate, is that the people who colonized the West earned it.
Yes.
They didn't show up, and the whole of the West opened up to them and said, here's your white carpet, your red carpet.
Right.
Because you're white, we're going to make it easy on you.
They fought
disease. They fought horrible conditions. Many of them had to resort to cannibalism.
Yes.
It was
you're right. And they talk a lot about freedom in it. You're right. And I really appreciate you. Dr. Duke Pested, you were on fire today, Uncle Milty. And we'll be right back. We have a lot to talk about. Thank you, Dr. Duke.
Thanks.
Catch
God
the Dr.
Bless.
Duke Show right on my Facebook page right after this.